about that, because that's what I choose to talk about. So I remember even when I was just a minute, let me get this. This meeting is being recorded. I remember when I was a little kid, up in my room feeling really lonely and stuff and depressed. And I hated being depressed because it just I wanted to be happy. And I was depressed. So I would think things to make me feel better, like I have two arms and I have two legs and I can ride my bike. And I would do all kinds of things like that just to get out of that depression or morbidity that I was experiencing. So, and then later on in the 70s, I was always in dealing with people and or in sales and so forth. So in the 70s, all these being positive books came out. I don't know if you're probably not old enough to remember all that, but anyway, I read all of this. I love that stuff, and I would use it with my customers or the people in my customer care and so forth. So and some of it was really fun, and some of it worked. And then there was a time when I was in the airlines, and I decided to leave the airlines. I was going to school, and thought, you know, there's much more out there for me than the airlines anyway. But at that time, I really thought, okay, I'll give myself 2 years now to finish up school and leave. So what is this airlines really about? You know, is it about emergencies, about helping people like that? And I kept on peeling it away, and finally I came to it's about service. It's about me giving myself in service. So I started to do that. I made a commitment for 2 years that I was really going to be about service. And I tell you, that gave me so much joy. I mean, then I thought it was service to people, but I think it's really service to a higher power where you can just give of yourself and let go of all the things I wanted. So that was a great experience for me to finish the last 2 years like that, thinking so much about service. So then later on, I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And I was at that stage that I could not stop eating. You know, I had a lot of tricks that I did before this. And I got to that stage in my life that nothing was working. And I had been a binger ever since I was a little kid. When I'd go out to eat, I would stuff my pockets full of food because I couldn't stand the thought of being hungry. Or, you know, playing and not having that food. And if I didn't feel good or I was sad, I turned to the food because I was in my disease right then at 4 or 5 or whatever age it was. And I remember often running to the little corner store. We always had corner stores then. And I'd have a little bit of change and I'd buy these boxes of rolls. And I came home and I put butter on the top and I sat and ate it. My mother was there folding clothes and she just laughed because she was a compulsive eater too. And she just laughed. And over the holiday time, my mother was a great baker. This entryway between our porch and the living room had all this candy and cookies and everything. And I would go through all the boxes and eat and rearrange it and do all these things, you know, so like I hadn't been into it. And I'm sure my mother realized I had. So I think of just those few little times, the habits I was beginning to create for compulsivity. I was afraid not to have food. I was turning to food instead of to another human being. I was saying, I didn't say, Mom, I don't feel good. I feel sad today. Didn't say any of that. I just went to eat. And the same thing going into that little entryway and doing that, there was shame. I was stealing food. I was hiding it, trying to pretend I didn't eat it. So through my life, you know, those habits, that compulsion doesn't go away as you get older. It just gets worse and worse. And you just find more ways to deal with it. And I was always either binging or restricting. And you know, when you're a binger, you never know when it's going to happen. I may be really good, but all of a sudden you're a compulsive eater and I'm binging. So was binging and then restricting. And I was always in careers and stuff that I had to look pretty good. So boy, the restriction really had to come in hard and fast when I was into my binge stage. So then I get to OA, right? And wow, that was a surprise. to learn about the steps and learn about self-inquiry, you know, and I can see that, you know, learning to work on these character traits that I had developed, I just didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue who I was or my mistakes or anything I had been doing through my life. It was almost like I thought that I was a shell and an actress pretending to be me, you know, but really underneath, who was this person? So it was great. I mean, you know, when you first get into OA, it doesn't seem so great because, well, when you get to the fourth step and you have to start doing all the self-inquiry, that is hard. But boy, you know, the four steps that started to teach me how to do self-inquiry. Took me a long time to love it, but I love it today. I love doing it and working my steps today, but it took me a long time to do that. And let's see. So I started learning what OA started to teach me is to turn to God, to turn to my higher power and situation, and to use my steps. And of course, this self-inquiry that I was developing that comes doesn't come real quickly for me, not for somebody who's been shoving things all their life. So, you know, with the steps, turning to God, learning how to use the steps, not just read them in my book, because I read them in my book for a long time, but really using the steps in my problems and using that self-inquiry. Because what I was discovering over the years, and I always did a step study, what I was discovering is that I had to be neutral about my past before I could really live a good life. And you see, this was a game changer because here was the good attitude. I can do positive books. I can make affirmations. I can do all these things. They all are good. But the real thing is changing my inner attitude. It's an inside job, right? It's an inside job that I need to do. So if I have that, then I have a little bit of authenticity. I'm not such a shell on the outside. So let's see what else. So I just wanted to tell you, I guess I have plenty of time. I didn't really time myself. So recently, and oh, one thing I wanted to say too is when I'm working the steps, then I'm open to using the principles. Because if I'm practicing being kind and loving, it's pretty hard for me to be mean-spirited. Or if I'm being mean-spirited or judgmental, I can turn to my higher power and say, I don't want to be like this right now. I really want to be kind in this situation. I really want to have some patience or whatever. And it'll happen. It can turn on a dime. So I've got that power to always be turning to. So I just want to share a little story because it kind of tapes in all this. Is that last week my car was towed. I live in an apartment, and my apartment community has not given me a parking spot. I've been here over a year now, and so I parked in a spot that I knew the woman didn't have a car. And I just thought, well, I'll just park there overnight because my friends were sitting around. I wanted to talk with them. Well, I came out the next day in the afternoon, the car was gone. And I was horrified because I know it's expensive, it's difficult to get out, blah, 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 blah. So I called a friend and I was just a twit. And I got that car out $470. Well, when I got home and calmed down a bit, and the first thing I do say I can take responsibility. It was my responsibility that that got took. I wasn't blaming anybody. But when I did my 10 step on it, I realized that really I kind of resented the property management for not getting me a spot. And I was kind of like, well, I could do my thing. You're not doing this for me, right? I had all that resentment and animosity going on. I seemed to get somewhere, but I still, the next morning, I had that, you know, that emotional hangover, and I felt kind of stuck and sad. I don't know if you ever feel that way, stuck and sad, what to do? And so I went back to my fourth and tenth step, and I realized that I was beating myself up for doing something so stupid as having my car towed, you know, and that I just was not forgiving myself at all. So the step helped me to go that one step farther and realize that I had to be kind and loving, even though I'd done something stupid. I had to be kind and loving toward myself. So that, thank God, that helped take it away and remove it and give me a good lesson. I'm sure there's more lessons about this car thing, but right now that's the biggest lesson that I got. So, it's so great because the steps always invite me to turn to the higher power. When I look back now, every step drives me to that power, to work with that power. And so it really is like, because who can turn to your higher power right away? Who has that ability? I remember in a meeting, there was a woman who was a had just got her master's in theology. And she said, we never, and she was a minister now. She said, we never learn to turn to our higher power through the day, or our God through the day. That takes practice. So it is practice. It's a practice of remembering that. But boy, when you do it, it sure pays off. So all the steps invite that, turning to God, using the steps, and it keeps my connection to my higher power going. So maybe sometimes these difficulties are, really, maybe that my connection wasn't so good and I had my car taken away to give it to me again. So, as Bill said, that keeping my side of the street clean and using the steps to solve my problems and my higher power, wow, that's my real adjustment, character adjustment, my real. What is, how do you say that? You say, I forget how you say that, but that's what really gives me my, it gives me my state that I want to have. And so it has to be that way. For me, I just have to keep on going till it gets to be that. My attitude adjustment. There's my real attitude adjustment. And the great thing is, when I don't have it, I can ask for it any time. I was talking with somebody about that, about every spiritual path, every religion has that ask and you shall receive, right? And we were talking about that and we thought, yeah, what is it about asking and you should receive and you shall receive? It's like it opens a pathway and it opens me to receive. So ask and you shall receive. So I love that. And if I'm stuck, I always remember that ask and you shall receive. So that's it for me today. I'm a little under time, but hey, there it is.